So how you been?
Good, you know, just hanging out at home, hoping that the world opens up so I can go get on the stage soon.
Well, I mean, it was going to be one of the most obvious questions, you know, how have you been and what are you looking forward to? But every musician I speak to lately is just craving the same thing, and that is to get out and to start playing again.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. I'm jonesing.
And that's it's really reflective in this album as well. I tweeted last night that I was listening to it for the second time. I tweeted out, it's super catchy. It reminds me of 70s rock in a way. The songs have great substance, grooves, and musicianship. It's like a bloody warm hug. And I think I got that warm hug part from Wonderlust because it is such a positive, forward-looking message.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Mm. Wow. That's, yeah, you know, that's like that. I think we were all, because we were like locked away and couldn't travel anywhere. So that song is definitely that, it touches on that element of wanderlust. You need, wanting to get out, experience the world again. And what's interesting about that song is that's one of two songs on that record that weren't written during last year. That's actually an old song. I've had that like in the catalog, just waiting for a place. And my wife is like, you know, that, remember that song you wrote called Wanderlust? And I wrote it like 10 years ago. I'm like, yeah. And she goes, that would actually fit on this record. You should put that on this record. I'm like, good call.
Yeah. Do you have many of those instances where you, you know, you have songs from a long time ago that now seem right that didn't at the time?
Yeah, it's funny how that works. You know, you hope that the shelf life doesn't expire. I have all these songs I put in the song refrigerator and hope they don't go bad. And so generally, yeah, if a song has been sitting there for a while and it's still, occasionally I'll come across it or think of the melody or the lyric and I'll go, you know, that's still, I think that could work. So that's usually a good sign that it's standing, withstanding the test of time.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing I like about this album as well, and I didn't realize it the first time round. It sort of ventures into different areas. It's a rock and roll album, but you've got little bits of element of country in there, and you've got some blues in there towards the end. I mean, a great closing song on the album is like that. You know, and Moonshot as well, about, it seems to be about wanting to be on the road, as we were just talking about before, and how you take that for granted, because yeah, it was a normal life. Everything just, we were going along at a, you know, we didn't realize what we had until it gets taken away. And that speaks volumes to the music industry everywhere, because it was taken away from us overnight.
Crazy, right? Yeah, we did. We totally took it for granted. And that song Moonshot was one of the first songs I wrote during the lockdown. And I was playing, kind of strumming some chords. And then, you know, I remember when we were suiting up again before the end of time. And I thought, you know, that really kind of touches on what I, just a few weeks prior to that, I was getting ready to get on stage with Alter Bridge. We were standing at the wardrobe case, putting on our clothes, suiting up, getting ready to do. And just the idea that we took it all for granted, you know, then that next line over and over again, took so much for granted. And it's like, yeah, it's there's so much that we all just thought was going to be there indefinitely. And whether it's getting together with friends or going to rock shows, and it's just been an interesting time.
So was music your outlet during the lockdown last year, or was it, did you find that you had any other skills? Something I've been asking a lot of musicians. Did you find that you were good at anything else while you had no time to do anything?
You know what? Once the record was written, so I just totally immersed myself in making this record the first 6 or 7 months. But then after that, I was like, well, what?
Yeah.
So I tried to learn how to become, like, I have an aunt who's this amazing photographer. And I thought, man, if I had even a tenth of what she's capable of as a photographer, that would be great. And I do not. I got a camera and I suck.
But this is things that need to take time and develop your eye and all that kind of stuff, though.
That's true.
Yeah. Speaking of, it's a bit of a tenuous link there, but I read that every song has a story in this one, and I'm going to play 1,000 words because it was, I didn't realize what the story was about, but I just really liked the song.
Thank you.
And apparently it's about a friend's father's mother and how she was standing in a photo. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I was sitting on the couch and driving my wife crazy, as I always do with the guitars. She's trying to watch TV and kind of coming up with ideas. And earlier I'd come up with this melody and I liked it. but I didn't have a lyric to fit in with it yet. So she's like, oh, our friend so-and-so, she went to her father's funeral this weekend, and they took this picture of her mom standing over his grave. And so she just showed the picture to me, and it was just like, tore my heart out. I mean, it's just this photo that just spoke. I mean, literally 1,000 words about love and life and our impermanence and all that. And so immediately I was like, you know, just that line, that the hook for the song ended up coming into play. Well, they say that a picture says 1,000 words, and then the song, you know, started to write itself. But yeah, it definitely, that was one of those moments where it's just an immediate knee jerk reaction. Something will just, the narrative will come to you from something real and genuine. Mm.
And I think we were all hyper aware last year as well. So influence could come at the drop of a hat at any moment. Picture a word, a sentence. I know that's probably how it works with you anyway. You pick up on these things that people say and do. But did you find yourself being more hyper aware last year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, your antenna's up when you're going through times like these, and there's just so much to draw from. You know, I, as a songwriter, one thing I don't like to do is try and come up with lyrics when there's nothing to write about. It's the worst feeling in the world. And I've been in that situation before where you just don't feel inspired. But the antenna was up 24/7 during last year, because there was just so much to kind of reflect on, you know, and try and make sense of. And also it was just things I needed to work through, because I didn't know. There was so much uncertainty. There was so much we just didn't know what was going to happen. And there was this real palpable sense of concern about the future. So that informed a lot of this record.
I guess, though, for musicians, there was lucky it happened in 2020. We have so much technology at our disposal. Even though we couldn't be physically together, we can still be together like this. Music, you can send files in an instant. It's not like the old days. So we did have that advantage. And we're seeing the fruits of that this year. There are just so many albums that are coming out. And I think there was not an expectation, but almost an anticipation that this year we would see some incredible albums. And did you feel obligated to yourself to make sure you got something going, that you didn't waste that time?
Yeah, because I didn't know how much time I'd have to make a record. Mm. You know, keep in mind, I was in the middle of an Alter Bridge tour cycle, and I knew I was supposed to make a solo record in August. And I remember telling my manager about 2 weeks before the world shut down. I was like, man, we're supposed to go to Asia and South America, and like, how am I going to write a record in you know, a few months? But when everything stopped, I didn't know how long it was going to stop for. So I went to work. I mean, I think I took like 2 or 3 days off, and then just locked myself in my studio and just didn't come out. And little did I know, you know, over a year later, you know, we would still be in this holding pattern. So it's been a very, very unique situation.
And I see you got to work with your longtime collaborator Elvis to produce this one. I don't think there would be anyone else that you could. Who could get the best out of you, because you've had such a great relationship with him.
He's the man. Yeah. You know, we've got a lot of history together, and other than just the fact that I know he's going to get great sounds and great performances, I just like hanging out with the guy, because, you know, he's super fun. I think that's the thing that so many artists realize once they make a record with him, and there's like, I just want to be that guy's friend, because he's, you know, he's funny, and he's like that guy in school. When you're going to school, you're like, that dude over there is cool. You know, I want to hang out with that guy. That's Elvis.
Did you find yourself discovering any music that you wouldn't have ordinarily got into during this whole, or still now, do you find that?
Yeah, I did. In fact, I'm going to pull it up here. So I've got kind of a weird eclectic taste, and so, you know, I'm definitely always on the hunt for something different, something new, but I've just been so into this artist, and it's not a rock artist per se, but she's like I think she's from, oh, there it is right there. I think she's from West Africa, and her name is Noura Mint Somali. And it's like this, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's just totally, it's awesome. So that was one thing I discovered that I listened to a lot, and then kind of went back and rediscovered some records that I hadn't listened to in a while. I went through a Van Halen stage. I hadn't listened to some Van Halen that much, you know, in quite some time. And so, yeah, you know, just, extensive vinyl collection, having fun.
Yeah, it's been, I think that's something that a lot of music fans have done. Just going back to those formative years and those bands that really set you on your journey and created that deep love of music. For me, it's Queen. And then I got, you know, I put my mind back to when I was flipping through my older brother's record collection. So then you got to get listen to The Who, and then it's Led Zeppelin and a big British 70s rock phase. But then I'm into punk, and I'm listening to punk, and then I'm into reggae, and it, you just find yourself going to these pockets and discovering things that you've forgotten about when you were growing up, and you just had a little Walkman with the little earbuds and riding your push bike, you know? So,
It's funny that you brought up the reggae. That's something I need to go back and spend more time with. You know, that's something that out of everything that I've tried to absorb, I feel like I need to spend a good 6 months there, because I think there's so much cool stuff there, just that the overall vibe, and there was a message. And so, yeah, that's something I'm going to do. I'll do it.
It's a good fun time.
Right.
Now, the other thing about the album, because I don't want to digress too far from that, but I love that you've incorporated this the lap steel on this one, and it gives that album, as I mentioned earlier, sort of a country vibe in there, because it's inherently, you know, attached to that kind of music. But you've used it in such a way that it just, I don't know, I think it comes back to that big warm hug again, you know, and it's, I really love this album, man.
Wow. Well, that means a lot coming from you. I'm with you. That instrument is very, it's very emotive. People always equate it with country, but for me, like there are Pink Floyd records where David Gilmour used the lap steel, and it emotes. It's just, it sings and it's haunting. And I love it.
Because you get that fretless sound, I guess, and you can be that kind of ethereal and mysterious, or you can just crunch the hell out of it and really get it flying. It's so good. What was one of the other songs? Oh, Tell It Like It Is. You had some great singles in the lead up to this as well. Tell It Like It Is was one of my favorites. Also, In Stride is just that dirty rock and roll sound with that slide guitar start. Can you tell me more about these ones?
Sure. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Tell It Like It Is. That's actually one of my faves as well, because it's kind of like a tip of the hat to the Rolling Stones and T-Rex and a lot of bands.
What I'm getting from it. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I couldn't figure it out.
I definitely hear T-Rex on that. And for me, I'd never done anything quite. I never walked in that realm before, and I love T-Rex. So I was like, this is, it just makes me want to kind of dance, and it makes me want to dance and fight. And I'm not a fighter.
There's the quote for the album. Mahal Kennedy, dance and fight to this album.
Like, just picture that. How do people dance and fight? That's a weird combination.
I don't know, man. I reckon there's some country people that can do it.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
So when the world, have you guys even started talking about, you know, touring this album on your own? Because you've got some great musicians on here as well. Is that going to happen, or will you pretty much just concentrate on Alter Bridge and get back into that when we can?
So we're trying to set up, I've got like 4 dates at the end of June here in the States with a solo project. And then we're going to try and do things throughout the year. Maybe it'll just be like Weekend Warrior acoustically. I'll go, and just really waiting to see how the world's going to open back up. But with that said, I'm hoping to get out and travel outside the States as things get better with this. So I really want to focus on this for a while, because I do love doing the solo stuff. Not just as a singer, but as a guitar player. I love getting to stretch out and express myself.
Mate, I will leave you at that. I could talk to you for hours, but I know that you've got a bit of a heavy schedule, so I don't want to impose on anyone else's time. But it is also always great to see you and talk to you, man. I really do appreciate it. And I really do love this album, and I'll be spruiking it to everyone far and wide.
Thank you.
It's such an easy album to listen to. And because all these songs have their own story, it is a great ride, and you've done such a great job.
Means a lot, man. I really appreciate it.
No worries at all. I hope I get to talk to you again soon.
Definitely. Anytime. Just let me know. Let's do it.
Mate. Sounds good. We'll talk just music and other stuff. And
I would love, I want to get some tips, some reggae tips from you, what I should listen to next time.
All right. That sounds good. All right.
All right.
Nice one. All right. Cool. Take care, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.